Hello and welcome again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you today, brothers and sisters, and we're going to get back into our study of suffering and trials today. We finished up mostly the part on suffering and what the Scriptures had to say in our last four or five lessons that we've been on this lesson. Today we're going to start on the topic of trials. Suffering and trials. Now, most of this study, the majority of this study, it did touch just a little bit on the unsaved, but the majority of this study, as far as suffering and trials goes, has to do with the Christian, has to do with the Bible believer, with the believer, and serving the Lord, and what Christians go through and are going to go through, and are promised that they're going to go through, and are appointed that they're going to go through. You've seen some of that. And I hope that what we've studied so far has given you a little bit of comfort and a little peace that these things are no accidents, that nothing surprises the Lord when it comes to Christian and suffering and trials. It surprises us, but it doesn't surprise the Lord. And we need to know how to think when these things come about and whenever things like these are going on in our lives. I pray that it's been helping you. I know God's word is a help, and it's a medicine. It's a comfort to us. And I just want to thank you for joining in and being part of this this study. Not only for the companionship and the fellowship that we have together, but also for your growth. And for your strength and maturity in the Lord, and that we can all give God glory and honor His word like we should together. So here we go. We're going to talk about trials some, and Christians having to do with trials and what the Bible has to say, and some of the things that the Lord has given us in His word to help us to understand what trials are all about, and why they are, and having to do with the Christian. Well, the first thing that we need to talk about, or that we're going to look at in the Scriptures, is some characteristics of Christian trials. One of the first things is that some trials they can be very severe for the Christian. Some trials can be very severe. You say, is that what it says in the Scriptures? Well, it does show us. And the brother Paul, anybody that went through some trials, he sure did. And he was appointed to it. The Lord Jesus Christ told him, remember the last lesson that we studied, that when Paul was called and that man went to lay his hands on him, one of the things he was to tell him was that that the Lord was going to show him how great things he must suffer for his sake and these trials. But let's listen to Paul's own words. Some trials can be very severe for the Christian. I remember over in Germany one time when I was over there, that there were some missionaries over there, American missionaries that were over there, and I was in the military over there, and there was a church that's a matter of fact, the church that I got saved at, it was a American pastor that had been in the Navy and went back to the United States and surrendered to go to Germany and open up begin a church over there for the military. And it was a prospering church, and still is, as far as I know, it's still going. It's called Rhineland Baptist Church. And I was born again there. The Lord took me halfway around the world and met me right there in that church and had me meet His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gospel of the grace of God there, and got saved. He'd been with me ever since. But there were some missionaries over there one time that had come over there, and they had their they had their family in the car, and they went through several things that I seen that is still sticking in my mind even today, and you're talking about 20 or 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and they were riding down the road. For instance, they were riding down the road and went to go around a left-hand curve, and the back door opened on the car, and his little girl fell out, and it killed her. And it fell out, just fell out of the car and died right there on the spot. And you wonder, now you're talking about some trials. You talk about some trials that that thing was just a, like Ecclesiastes talked about, time and chance, happiness to all. I mean, just it could have been anybody, and their door opened and out went the little girl. And I don't understand all the details about it, but that's what happened. Now, one of the things that really touched my heart and still touched my heart and everybody else's then was how to get through something like that, you know, and how to get through something like that. And the same thing happened. Well, another thing that happened to that family was that they had their missionaries over there in Germany have to have their children attend the German schools. And if they come over as citizens and or come over there, however it worked out, he had to have his children in the German school. Well, one thing that they taught, and these were small children, not real small, just say, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years old, maybe 10, something like that. But he had a son and a daughter that went to them schools, and they came home complaining that the teachers made them pull their pants down in school. You say, what? Yeah, it was part of the new generation of this new gender identity thing, and how to explain boys and girls and this, that, and the other, and had them pull their pants down. A girl and a boy. And he started complaining about it and took his children out of the school, and they told him he could either put them back in the school or he can leave the country. So he had to leave the country, you see. And it's just things like that, just things like that. And you're talking about trials. You know, some people, there's all sorts of different trials that people have to go through. And some of them are authored by the Lord, and the Lord sets them up for us, and we go through them and stuff like that. And he's in them from the beginning to the end. But some trials just pop up out of nowhere, don't they? And what we learn from them. And there's no accidents with the Christian when it comes to trials, as far as getting through them and suffering through them. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8 through 10, he said, now listen to how Paul explained this matter. He said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despised even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. So you see, Paul, he said he was pressed out of measure. He said he was pressed out of measure in such a way that it was above his strength, and they even despaired even of their lives. They didn't even know if they was going to be alive the next. I mean, that's, now you hear Paul talk about some of the things that he went through. Now, that man went through some things. He sure did. And we're not just telling a fairy tale out in the fairy tale land stories. These are real things that happened to a real man. For the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the Word of God. And if Paul hadn't have been serving the Lord like he was serving the Lord, a lot of this stuff probably wouldn't have happened to him or even come about. As a matter of fact, they honored him highly whenever he was before he got saved, because he was a big shot with the Pharisees, and went around, even got letters from the high folks in the hierarchy in the Pharisees, and got letters to go to different cities to go punish and kill and take prisoners of all the Christian sect that he was talking about. But when the Lord saved him, he started going through some stuff and trials. But the characteristics of trials, some trials can be very, very severe. Now, I don't know what you're going through, and sometimes it's just not how you want to put it. It's, the Bible tells us to suffer with each other, to pray for one another, to rejoice with each other, and if one suffers, the whole family suffers, the whole body suffers. Supposed to suffer together, but some trials can be so severe that, as far as right there in the family or whoever is going on with. That it's unexplainable. It's something that you can't put in words. It's just something that you can't put in words. You can't explain. You just have to bear it. And I know that some of y'all might be going through something like that. I don't know, but I hope not. But if you are, hang in there, brother. Hang in there, sister. Don't you quit. Don't you dare quit. Don't you dare give in to the enemy, you can handle it and you can get through it, and it's not going to last that long. It's just, remember what we studied yesterday, it's not going to last that long. It's going to come to an end, and your trials are going to, when you see, as we get on through this study, you can see that the Bible teaches that these trials are going to bring you out better than you ever thought you would be. But some trials can be very severe for the Christian, can't they? And a lot of y'all could tell some stories about what you've been through for the Lord's sake, that would make some of us look like we've just been skating along pretty good. I know, but you just hang in there. And thank you for studying, and thank you for honoring the Lord. And we see you as an example of walking with the Lord. Some trials can be very severe for the Christian. That's not all. What is another characteristic of Christian trials? Well, sometimes the cause or reason for the Christian trial is completely unknown. It's unknown. We talked about that with that suffering, remember? That sometimes you're just not going to know what it's all about until you get all the way home. And that's what Paul was talking about. He said that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raiseth the dead. Who raiseth the dead. Now, one good example about this matter of not knowing what's going on, your trials that come to you, and not knowing what's going on is Job. Let me read it to you. In Job chapter 1, and this is a conversation between the Lord and Satan, and this is the initial attack that Satan attacked Job, and his reaction. Listen to the scriptures. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when the sons of the daughters, the sons and his daughters, were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, this is the fourth person came in. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped to tell thee. Wow. Four different occasions in a matter of just, well, long enough for somebody to be talking and another person come in the room four times in a row. Four different incidents, four different catastrophic things, and Job lost in every one of them. And here's his reaction. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He didn't blame it on God. He didn't cuss about it. He didn't make a big scene about it. He just worshiped the Lord. He didn't know anything else to do except, and there was no explanation. There was, everything was completely unknown. There was no reason for any of it to happen. And, but yet it did, and he didn't have any answers. So he done what he only knew what to do with his character and his integrity, and that was fall down on his face and worship God and give God praise and glory, and in spite of it all. You see that? Sometimes the cause or the reason for the Christian trials is unknown. There's a lot of things that a lot of folks are going to find out later on when they get to the judgment seat and find out how pleased the Lord was with their reaction about some things that happened with them down here that they had absolutely no answers for. That's probably one of the hardest things in the world, is to know how to react and know how to remain and hold your character and hold a good testimony when things happen that you know about, but much more even when it's something that's completely ignorant to you. You just have absolutely no idea why it's going on and can't even figure out how come it's going on. The Lord said, and the Lord said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. Don't try to figure it out on your own. But, you know, if there's been a lot of folks that a lot of things have happened to, and, you know, they're probably comparative, and all of them in that, all of them have said something in the line of, man, if I just knew why. You know, if I just knew why. And a lot of times when you don't know things, that's when the enemy gets in there and starts throwing his little lies in there, saying, well, you know, this could have been God's fault. This could have been God being mad at you about something, you know, and you start examining yourself. And I mean, you just all kinds of stuff like that, all kinds of stuff. I mean, sometimes the cause or the reason for Christian trials is unknown. It's unknown. And we just have to trust the Lord and go with it. And 1 Peter chapter 4, let me read that to you. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible said that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. You know what? That don't make no sense. Wait a minute. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Here we go. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as some strange thing happened unto you. And I suppose every Christian that's ever been through a trial probably has come to that thought in his mind or in his heart sooner or later, sometime or another, hadn't he? Well, it's obvious that the Lord knows that we think like that because he had that scripture put in there for us that, you know, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as some strange thing, as though some strange thing happened to you. I guess the Lord wants us to think that these things, whether we know where they come from and why, and they're unknown, to still not count it strange, or to giving us permission to think this way about these things. And it would seem like you didn't care about your trial if you didn't care about these matters if you just kind of didn't think about it. You know, I mean, it's unknown and I can't figure it out, so on we go. The Lord gave us permission to do that. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But we give the Lord glory. You see how Job reacted? That's a perfect example. He had absolutely no idea. And these bombshells were coming in, bam, 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 and just knocking him all around. And, I mean, finally it got to the point to where all his children are dead. And he just stood up and ripped his mantle and shaved his head and fell on his face and didn't accuse God or blame God for anything. Just worshiped him and still didn't have any idea what was going on. But he didn't count it a strange thing to where he got to blaming God and blaming this and that and the other. He just gave glory to God and knew that the Lord was in it somewhere. That's hard to do. It really is. But the Lord said that's what we should do, and that's what we should do. And there's been lots of people before us that have been through probably much more than us, I guess you could say. And I know there's people that's been through a lot heavier and bigger ordeals and things that were a lot more weighty than I have. And I'm not too stupid to think that I'm the only one that's ever been through something harder than everybody else. That's not true at all. But the Lord has given us a way to understand that we're going to have these fiery trials, and when we do, not to count it, not to think of it as though some strange thing has happened to us. To remember the Word of God and to get in the Word of God and to trust the Lord. And Job is a good example for that, as far as that goes right there. And even the Lord took Job on to teach him a lesson as that was going on, to show him a little bit more about himself. So we're talking about some characteristics of Christian trials. Some trials can be very severe. We're not downplaying that whatsoever. That's why it's so important for Christians to look out for one another and to care for one another and to love each other. Because it makes such a big difference not having to go through these things on your own, and that somebody's there to help you out through it. And a lot of times there's no answers because sometimes the causes or reasons for the Christian's trial is unknown. Nobody knows what it's all about. But nevertheless, a little comfort goes a long ways, especially on unknown things, you know. And, you know, I mean, did God do this to me? Did the devil do this to me? Did I do this to me? You know, I mean, or whatever it might have been. That's not all. Christian trials are sometimes physical trials. Sometimes physical trials. Now, we've seen that with Job as his trial moved on and moved on into it a little bit deeper. He lost all his belongings and all of his worldly goods and then his children. And then it moved on a little farther into his personal being and his physical being. Because the enemy just wouldn't leave God alone about it, and it moved on into that. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, now you want to talk about somebody that had some physical trials, is our brother Paul. And he tells us about them in there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, we was reading part of that a while ago. But it said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You see, the way Paul turned that out, or figured it out, when God told him, "Forget it, I'm not taking it away, because my strength is made perfect in you, in your weakness, when you're weak." So Paul made his mind up. He says, "Okay, well, if that's the way it's got to be, then I'm going to be glad, therefore. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities," because he knows the Lord has put that there, and it's going to be there, and no matter whether it's something obviously that was aggravating a mess out of Paul, and Paul wanted it gone because he asked the Lord three times to get rid of it. But the Lord told him, "It's not going anywhere, it's staying there, quit asking me." He said, "It's staying there because it helps you. And it, and that my strength is made perfect when you're weak." And so Paul adjusted his thinking to that. He said, "Therefore, I take pleasure." Now, just wait a minute. It wasn't pleasure just a minute ago. It was three different times he asked the Lord to take it away. That wasn't pleasurable. It wasn't. You don't ask the Lord to take something away if it's not bothering you. So it was bothering him. All right, whatever it was. But the Lord answered him, told him no, so he changed his thinking. He said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He said, "That's something that I do want, is God's power in my life." He said, "If this is the way it's got to be, is for me to have this infirmity," he said, "then I'm going to change my thinking. Instead of being aggravated about it, I'm going to most gladly, therefore, rather, I will glory in my infirmity." That's a mature Christian talking right there, ain't it? "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities." Now, Paul said he takes pleasure in it. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." You see, Paul learned a brand new lesson right there that the Lord taught him and told him that he's going to have to live by, because God wasn't taking that prayer, answering his prayer request the way he wanted it. He's leaving the thing on Paul, and Paul changed his thinking, adjusted his thinking, and instead of being aggravated about it and it pestering him all day long and everything else, he rather turned that thing around and said pleasure in his infirmities, in his reproaches and necessities. When he needs something and he ain't got something, he takes pleasure in that, because when he's weak, then he's strong. And his persecutions, when people are persecuting him and talking about how what a stupid Christian he is and how he's always stirring things up. He took pleasure in that because when he's weak, then he's strong. And in distresses for Christ's sake, all the depression and all the worries and being in prison and the cold and the nakedness and all that kind of stuff that went along with the physical things and stuff like that. He said, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. You see. So when it comes to this matter of physical trials, some trials are physical trials. Physical trials. As a lot of folks, Christians, I know one particularly right now, and the very first time I met him, I was impressed by him. I was blessed by him. And it was a brother in Christ, and that was in a wheelchair, and he was a paraplegic. He couldn't move his legs or his hands. He could or his arms or any part of his body from neck down. He has a wonderful wife. They're both alive right now, and they live right down in the neighborhood around my mother and father. But one of the things that impressed me about this brother is that his love of the Lord and his consistency with the Lord and not blaming the Lord for anything and just trying to weather the storm, and that's something that's never going to be taken away from him. When he was a young man, he went to dive into I don't know if it was a pool or it was in some kind of lake or something like that, but it was a lot more shallow than he thought it was, and when he hit the bottom, just under the surface, it broke his neck, and it paralyzed him for life. And he's been that way ever since he was a teenager, and he's like in his 40s or 50s or something like that. I'm just guessing, but I would say 50s. And everybody I know or anybody I've ever seen that talked to him has always told him what an encouragement he is to everybody else. And he is an encouragement. He's an encouragement to me. That he could live life in that wheelchair, not being able to move anything but a couple fingers to move an electric wheelchair around with his fingers, but got to have help with everything else in his life. And the only thing is from his neck up works. Now, you're talking about a trial, a physical trial. And then have a wife that spends the rest of her life taking care of you and having to deal with that also, you know. I mean, you're talking about somebody that wanted to get bitter and somebody that probably if there was a reason to get bitter and mad and not know why that thing happened. He knows he broke his neck, but he don't know why, you know. I mean, why was that water light, you know, and don't know the whys about it. But some things you're just never going to find the answers to. It just happened. And now it could be the physical trial that the Lord decided that you're going to do this because there's going to be so many people in your life that you're going to touch and that you're going to change their heart and turn them toward me. No telling how many people have come to the Lord and straightened things out with the Lord and fixed things that they were mad about and angry about and upset about in their life that's happened when they look at him and see that he's much more worse off than everybody else, but he's not behaving like that. You see? Christian trials are sometimes physical trials. Yes, they are. That's not all. What else are Christian trials? Characteristics of Christian trials. Well, Christian trials are endurable. Endurable. You can do it. You can tolerate it. You can forbear it. There's been, just like this fellow I was talking about, there's people in our lives that Christians that we know or have run across or that you might are going to run across that you're going to see that they can go through it, you can go through it. You see, it's just a matter of getting your thinking right and getting it adjusted a little bit and putting that stuff on the Lord and saying, okay, Lord, it's me and you. A Christian's trials are endurable. They can be endured. Does the Bible say that? Well, of course it does. Let's look at it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That ye may be able to bear it. The Lord, not only when He puts the temptation comes about, the Lord not only has prescribes the temptation, and something not only makes it to where you're not going to be tempted above that you're able. God's not like that. Our Lord loves us and He cares for us. And He doesn't put things on us just to sit back and laugh and see you struggle with the weight on you. The Lord said His yoke is easy and His burden is light. These trials are completely different. The Lord don't put these things on us to make us suffer so, you know, He can get pleasure, some kind of wicked pleasure out of it or something like that. It's not the Lord at all. It's the devil, but not the Lord. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. He also makes the way out while the trial's going on. So the Lord not only makes the trial to come in, takes care of it and watches it, that you're going to suffer, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. And while you're going through and learning and tolerating and changing your thinking and adjusting everything that needs to be adjusted while this trial is doing good to you, even though it seems like it's bad, the Lord also has put a way for it to end. Has made a way for it to end. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That's a promise. And it's all about temptation. It's all about trials. And it's all about the Christian. What else? We're talking about a Christian's trials, that Christian's trials are endurable. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4 through 8. Excuse me. Or, excuse me, that was 1 Corinthians 10:13. That's what we just got through reading. But there had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That's God's promise to us. So in these trials, characteristics we're talking about, characteristics of Christian trials, that is. Some trials can be very severe for the Christian. And that's not all. Some trials, sometimes the cause or the reason for Christian trials is unknown and never going to be known. And that's trial enough in itself, but that's the whole idea of trusting the Lord and getting our trust genuine in the Lord, because you can't fake that. If you don't know what the trial's all about and everything else, you're either going to worry the rest of your life, or you're just going to lay it on the Lord's hands and say, Lord, I ain't got no idea. Here it is, and you trust Him with it, and you go and you move on, and the Lord gives you peace about it, and you move on, just move on. And a lot of times, it's just what you got to do. Christian trials are sometimes physical trials. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And then we talked about a Christian's trials are endurable. They can be tolerated. You can forbear it. You can handle it. The Lord said He's not going to. Now I know it's just like a song or an old song played or something like that. You can handle it. You can do it, but you can. Because look who's behind it. The Lord's behind it. And I'm one to be saying that because at the same time I'm standing here talking to you, the devil knows exactly what lesson I'm fixing to teach and what we're going to get into because just about the time you go to teaching about something, you're learning that thing yourself. You're learning that thing yourself. And I tell you what, it's something, but it is endurable. You can do it. You can do it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting it to quit. Nothing wrong with wanting it to stop. But when it stops, that's all it's going to do. It's just going to stop. And you're going to keep moving and keep living. But did God get the glory? And did you grow in the matter? Did you get closer to the Lord? Did you become more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Are the things that's happening that the Lord wants to happen for you, did they take place during the trial, or do we just want to get this thing out of the way and make it stop? A lot of times it's for that reason, isn't it? I mean, I ain't one to like suffering in trials, but doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we like. What matters is what the Lord says is right. And we agree with Him and say, Lord, if that's what You want, then that's what our Lord Jesus Christ did, and we're supposed to suffer as a he set a pattern out for us to. And what did He say? Not nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will, Lord. And it's hard to tell the Lord, okay, I'll take it if that's what You want to put on me. But in the end, isn't that the way we want to be anyway? Is that we mind the Lord and trust Him enough to know that He's not gonna hurt us, and we stick our necks out for Him, that He's gonna take care of us all the way through to the end. Isn't that the way? Yeah, that's what we want. That's what we want. All right. What else? What else? What's another characteristic of Christian trials? Well, Christian trials are rewardable. They're rewardable. Now, we talked the same thing about the suffering, about suffering being rewarded, and it is. But in Hebrews chapter 10, let me read that to you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 37, you've heard this verse before. It says, cast not away your confidence. Don't cast it away. As if it's not important or it doesn't mean anything or it's just too great a thing to put up. It says, put up with. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. In other words, you're putting your trust in the Lord and putting your confidence in the Lord about this matter. Don't throw it away. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense. Now, what's recompense? It's being paid back. Which hath great recompense of reward. And it didn't just say recompense, it said great recompense of reward. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. I mean, it sounds like what the Lord is trying to tell us there is, you don't realize what you're going to get out of this thing. Hang in there. Don't throw it away. Don't give up on your confidence that you've put in the Lord. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. There you go. A Christian's trials are rewardable. Rewardable. What else? Well, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. Let me read that. Christian trials. A characteristic of a Christian trial is that it's rewardable. It's not for naught. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Remember we talked about that yesterday? That it's so much better to not put up stock here that you're going to lose everything when you die here on earth. You're going to lose it all. Can't take nothing. You lose everything. But now set your affections on things above and store up treasure in heaven like the Lord said. It's there waiting on you when you get there and more. And you don't lose nothing. You gain eternal life, the Bible says. Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. There's that Paul philosophy again. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Notice the time mark in that again. Though now for a season. You got to remember this thing. The Lord says these trials and these sufferings are only for a season. They're going to stop. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Let the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, with fire, might be found much more unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. All good news. All good news. So, what have we talked about today? We talked about the characteristics. We began in the area of trials for the Christian. We're talking about suffering and trials, and we got into this matter of trials today. And the first thing that we've seen is some characteristics of Christian trials. Brothers and sisters, some trials can be very severe for the Christian. And some of you could tell us about that. But that doesn't mean just because they're severe that they're worthless and that the Lord is not what he says he is in that trial there for you. Sometimes the cause or the reason for Christian trials is unknown. And maybe later on you'll find out what it was all about, and maybe at the judgment seat of Christ, and maybe not ever. But it's got to be dealt with. And Job dealt with it. He didn't start asking God and questioning God. He just fell on his face and worshiped God and trusted him. That's what he did. That's what the Bible says he did. Christians, trials are sometimes physical trials. And you probably got some folks that you know, Christian brothers and sisters that you know, that are physically putting up with things and tolerating it, because these bodies are going back to the dust, and it is possible that these bodies are going to put up with some trials and put up with some things, and that that the Lord wants us to give him glory with, as long as we're in the body. But physical trials are also part and characteristic of Christian trials. Christian trials are endurable. You can take it. We don't want to take it, but you can take it. The Lord said He's measured that thing out, and it's not gonna destroy you. It's gonna do His will, His good will for you. All you got to do is do your part. Christian trials are rewardable. In Hebrews chapter 10, we read that, and 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Well, I think we'll go ahead and stop right there. We've talked about the characteristics of Christian trials. Now, next time we come together, we're going to talk about the design of Christian trials, how they're designed. Christian trials are designed? Yeah. That's interesting, isn't it? That they're designed. That means that there's a designer behind it. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let me give you these scriptures for today on the characteristics of Christian trials. And I hope you've been encouraged, brothers and sisters. You should have. I am. Every time I talk about what the Bible says and read what God's Word says about these trials and things like that, you get just a little bit stronger, don't you? God's Word is encouraging to us. The trials. Here we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. Job chapter 1, verse 7 through 22. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 8. And then after that, we had 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 37. And the last one for today is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. 3 through 9. Christian trials. Suffering and trials is what we're talking about. It's a good study, isn't it? And I hope you getting more and more encouraged as we go through this, and we see that the suffering and trials are not a foreign thing or it's something that the Lord has put in His Word the Lord has told us a lot about this, and we're going to go over it. And we have over the suffering part of it, and right now we've found some Christian characteristics of Christian trials, and we'll talk about the design of Christian trials on the next one, okay? So there we go. And thank you for listening. Thank you for honoring the Lord. And brothers and sisters, you just hang in there now. Hang in there. Everything's going to be all right. The Lord promises that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And this, all these matters of this Christian trials and the characteristics and everything, we hadn't got anything but good news. I mean, even if you don't know what it is, if it's endurable and rewardable and the Lord's pleased with it, it's worth it, right? Okay, well, you hang in there, and I'll talk to you on the next one, okay? Be sure to join in. Let's finish this, study this thing and find out what the truth of the matter is. God's Word is true. This is Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.